Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Yevamos Daf Yud Zayin, and we are going to begin on the end of the fourth line from the top, Yud Zayin Omud Aleph, with words Kiamrise Kamei Deshmuel. And this is referring to a statement that we had in yesterday's shiur that Rav Yehuda said over the name of Rav Asi. Now, Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav. After Rav passed away, he went to learn by other Rabbonim, including Rav Asi, and most importantly, by Shmuel. So, after Rav Yehuda left learning by Rav Asi and Rav, he went to Shmuel to learn, and he would tell over many of the members, especially of Rav, to Shmuel. And yesterday's shiur, we had the Gemara that said, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Rav Yehuda learned from Rav Asi, Ove kochavim shekidesh bazman hazef, a guy were to give kiddushim to a Jewish woman nowadays, well, normally we're not choshesh that there is any kiddushim from a guy to a Yiddish woman, nevertheless, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Asi that then they had to be choshesh because Shema me aseres hashvatim. Maybe this Goyish person wasn't really a guy. He was really from the aseres hashvatim, the 10 tribes that had been dispersed by Sancheirev to different parts of the world, and therefore we have to be choshesh that in fact there was a kedushin that took effect over here. That's what he said, choshesh and kedushin. So in today, four lines on the top, Ki amrite kamei deshmuel, Rav Yehuda said, when I said this member of Rav Asi over in front of Shmuel, Amali, Shmuel said to me, no, bincha. Habo min ha-Yisraelis, kori bincha. He says, only a child that's born from a Jewish woman is called your child. In other words, that child is considered Jewish. Vein bincha, habo min ovedes kochavim, kori bincha. But a child that comes from a Goyish woman is not considered your child. In other words, we go after the paternal lineage. Ela binot. In that situation, he's considered her child, the Goyish mother's child, and not a Jewish child. But what this is saying is, as Rashi brings down in Dibro Maschil, Omar bincha, bom Yisrael is kori bincha, vein bincha, bom min ovetz kochavim, kori bincha, ela binah. So he says, the nafkalon michi yosir is bincha meachorai, that the posuk in Voes Chanan tells us, it says, doesn't say ki sosir es bincha, it says ki yosir es bincha. Therefore, alma lav abito lo sikach le bincha mahader. It's not going after a daughter of yours that takes their son, because in that case, the child is not Jewish. Dim kein haylo lomar ki avodes kochavim tosir. It should have used that form of the word, shmami no. We see from here, dinami yoledes bein liavodus kochadin. If a Jewish man would have a relationship, nebuch, with a non-Jewish woman, so lo bincha mikri, that child is not considered your child. Lo karinam bei, ki saucer is bincha. And we don't have that terminology that they're going to take away your child because it's not considered your child. Hilkoch, ov di kochadin kumur meim. In that situation, they're not considered at all Jewish children. So, seemingly, Shmuel is telling Rav Yehuda that we don't have to be concerned in the situation where the mother of the child is a guy and the father is a yid. In that situation, the child is not Jewish. Shmuel says, why are you kabanos? What about the women? There were nebuch, women that were going off into Golus at the time of the Golus Sancheirev of the 10 northern tribes. And what about those children? They would be Jewish. So why aren't we choshesh over here? Shmuel seems to say we're not choshesh. Why aren't we choshesh? What about the women that gave birth to children? So the Amar Ravina, Shmami, you see from here, ben bitcho habobin ovikochavim kori bincha. That in fact, if those Jewish women had been assaulted or ended up having a relationship with a guy, so their children would be Jewish. So therefore, we should be choshesh that maybe this guy coming on to giving kedushin to the Jewish woman is really a Jewish person, and we should have to be concerned in that situation. What are you going to say to that? So the Gemara answers, no, Gemiri. We have a tradition, we have a Gemara, we have a Mesorah. The Binsa, the Haudorah, that all the Jewish women, Nebuch, that went into exile with Golus Sancheirev, so those women of the northern tribes, it's Taruye, it's Toru. Rashi says this is a Lashon of Nivka Harechem, that the Rechem was split, it was broken open, and Miliklot Zera, it would be incapable of accepting the Zera of the semen of a man, the Nasu, of course, and those women couldn't become pregnant, they were barren. And therefore, there is no concern that there may be Jewish people or Mamzerim that are going out there in the Goyish world, and if such a person were to give Kiddushin to a Jewish woman, we do not have to be concerned since those people don't exist, that there are Jewish people or Mamzerim that are going around there in the secular world that are really Jewish or have the halachic ability to give kiddushin. You don't have to be concerned about that. That was a nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, that those women couldn't have children, and therefore there are no Jewish results of the Galus of Sancheirib. It's only Nebuch the men that may have had relations with the Gaita, but those children would not be considered Jewish, as we just brought down. It said Lo Yosir rather than Lo Sosir. Okay. That's the first version that we have of Shmuel's response to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Ika the Amre, others said no. Kamrisa Kameh the Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda said, I said this din over of Rav Asi, that you have to be choshes for the Kiddushin in this situation. So Shmuel had responded, Omer Li, Shmuel had said, Lo Zazim Yisham, that the rabbis got together and they didn't move from there. Lo Zazim Yisham, Asha Asum Ovde Kochavim Gemurim. They paskin that all of those people had the status of being full-fledged Goyim. Now, normally we wouldn't say something like that, but there were Nevi'im there, and this was a psak from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, that they did not have to be concerned. There was a halachic status given to, even if there were children that would have been born to those women that were Nebuch in Galus, that had been either assaulted or had voluntarily had relations with the Goyim, so even the women would not have had Jewish children, based upon the Pasuk Shenemar, Bashem Bogdu Ki Bonim Zorim Yoladu, that they had rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Novi Hosea tells us these children are described as banim zorim, and therefore they were halachically not considered Jewish, they were considered goyim. And therefore, that's the answer that this version of Ika the Amri of Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, that in fact, we don't have to be choshesh nowadays, that if a goyish person gives kiddushin to a Jewish woman, then you have to be concerned that maybe this is one of the descendants of the Jewish people from Golus Sancheirev. Nadigmor tells us, Yosef Rav Yosef, Achori Rav Kana, the Yosef Rav Kana, Kameh Rav Yehuda, the Yosef Kamar. So what happened over here? I mentioned many times, when it says Yosef, they were sitting, because they when they asked the question, they had to stand up, and then they were given permission to sit down and ask the question. So we have Rav Yosef, who was sitting behind Rav Kana. They used to sit in a hierarchy form. So the Rebbe would sit in the front, the first pupil would sit in the next row, and then the other pupils would sit behind them. So Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. And he had originally stood up, and now he sat down, and he asked, and he said, Asid in Yisrael da'ov de yom tova ki char ve'tamud. He said, eventually, the Jewish people are going to make a yantiv when the city of Tarmod is destroyed. Where it says, v'ha'char, it's already been destroyed. What are you talking about? So he says, no, that's a different city. Hai Tamod, Havoy. The city that you're describing that was destroyed was Tamod. And here he's talking about that they'll make a yantif when Tarmod, two different cities. That's Teretz number one. Rav Ashi says, no, they're the same city. Rav Ashi Omar, Hainu Tamod, Hainu Tamod. They both were the same city. If it was destroyed, why are you saying you're going to make a yantif if it's destroyed? It already was destroyed. So he says, no, the city was never fully destroyed. Ikapulehu de Mikba. That parts of the city were destroyed, but other parts were not. And Chorav Mehaigi saw, if one side was destroyed, Osef Mehaigi said they would rebuild it on the other side. The Chorav Mehaigi said if the other side was destroyed, Osef Mehaigi said they would rebuild it on the first side. So therefore, it never was fully destroyed. So that's when you're saying that Tamud was destroyed. So yes, that's the same city as Tarmod, but it never was fully destroyed. It was only partially destroyed, and then it was partially destroyed again, and it was partially destroyed. And therefore, in the future, when it will be fully destroyed, that's when they'll make a yantiv. Now, why is this so important? Why would they make such a yontif? Because this was a city that was filled, as we'll see in the upcoming Gemara, with people of a varied and improper or impure lineage. And therefore, it caused a lot of trouble for Klai Yisrael. So it will be a great day when that city no longer exists and it won't be this problem. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Hamnuna Kameh Ula. One time Rav Hamnuna was sitting in front of Ula, V'kah Havei Bishmaisa, and they were sitting and learning and talking. Rashi says, the words were called they was Maksha. So he was discussing with him various shmuas, various halachos. And Ula was very impressed with him. Omar Ula said, Ma Gavra U Ma Gavra, or the Girsa of the Bach is Ma Gavra. And he adds, El Mai Guvre. And look at what he does. What he does is so great. And therefore, it's a shame that he's not of a kashra lineage. He loved the Harpanya, must say, if only he didn't come from this town of Harpanya. So he was praising him, Ula was praising Rav Hamnuna, but he was also at the same time saying that Nebuch comes from a very inappropriate and impure lineage coming from the city of Harpanya. And Rav Hamnuna was very embarrassed, Yosef, he was very embarrassed. So Ula said to him, well, maybe you're not really from Harpanya. Now, why did he say to him when he saw him he was embarrassed? Because Mamzerim are characterizes people that are very brazen and they don't get embarrassed. And therefore, when he saw that he was embarrassed, he now questioned, maybe he's not really a mamzer. And therefore, he asked him, where did you really pay your taxes to? In other words, where were you really from? What city were you from? I thought you came from Harpanya, which we'll see is a city that was filled with mamzerim. So Amalei, Ula asked him, Kesef Gulgolta, the head tax that you have to pay, the money that they have to pay by a head tax. Gugolta is the skull. So they used to pay per person a certain amount of taxes. Lehechu Yavis, who did you give that money to? In other words, which town are you really from? Harpunya or some other place? So Amalei. So Rav Hamnuna said to Ula, we paid our taxes Lupum Nara. That's a different town than Harpunya. So Amalei, Ula said to him, oh, in that situation, him came, Pum Nahara. So then you're a Pum Nahara citizen and not a Harpanya citizen. The people in Pum Nahara were of a pure lineage, and therefore, now I understand you're such a great person. It makes more sense that you aren't a Mamzer. It makes more sense that you aren't of an impure lineage, and I'm glad that you're not from the city of Harpanya. My Harpanya, the Gemara says, what's notable about Harpanya? So Amar Rav Zera said, Har Shakol Ponimbo. This was a city that everybody turned to. What does this mean? Rashi says, Kopsulim. Shane Motzin Isha, any person who has a pagam, a blemish in his lineage, he's an apostle, and he can't find a wife. So Ponim V'Holchem Sham, they would go there because there they were either not careful about lineage or everybody there had an impure lineage, and therefore they were able to marry the other people with an impure lineage. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "V'masnisa tana." We're learning the following brisa: Koshein makim mishpachto v'shifto. Anybody who didn't know who his family was, in other words, what his lineage was, or even what shevet he was from, nifnei l'sham, they would go over there and they would marry over there. So this only promulgated even further the lack of a pure family line and the potential for, unfortunately, having an impure lineage. Amar Rava, Rava says, V'hi amuka mishaol. Now, amuka, Rashi says, means v'ra l'dor v'zeh yosumi gehenim. It's even worse than gehenim. Why? Because the ilul yor, the gehenim, people that never go to gehenim, so ika tekanta, they'll eventually come out of gehenim. They'll be purified in gehenim, and they'll come out. They'll see if, as the Pasuk will read in the Gemara in a second, Rashi brings that over him. Yash shol epodeim, imovis egolein. So they'll eventually have a kapara. However, Vilu Psule did who? Less Lukaton Takanta. But if a person has an impure lineage, there's no way to burn it out of him in Gehenim. So that's what Rav is telling us here, that it's Vihi Amuka Mishaol. Harpanya is even worse than the Shaol, which is another name for Gehenim. Shenema, and now we bring the Pasuk that Rashi just brought down. Shenema, Yad Shaol from the depths of Gehenim, Efdame, I will redeem you. Mimavis Egolem, and from death I will go and redeem you. So the Ilu Psul did who, but the Psul of lineage, last look at Dakanta. There is no way to go and correct that. Gemara continues telling us about the impure lineages that occurred in different cities and where they eventually moved to. So Psuli Darpanya, the Psulim, the impure lineage people who lived in Arpanya, they became impure, Mishum Psule de Meshon, because the people from Meshon interacted with them and moved there. And Upsule the Meshon, Mishum Psule de Tarmod. The people that were apostle in Meshon, they originally came from Tarmod. That's where they moved to. And Psule de Tarmod, they came Mishum Adi de Shlomo. That we learned a couple of days ago, that the Avodim of Shlomo, the Nebuch set their eyes on the Jewish women, and according to the sheet that it says that the relationship between a guy or an Eved and a Jewish woman results in a mamzer, so that's where the impure lineage just started from. And that's what people say, the popular aphorism, Ahayu Damri Inshe, Kaba Rabba, a large amount, a Kab is a large amount, but Kab is Uta, or a smaller size Kab, a smaller amount. So all of these different types of impurities, that's what this is referring to, Mingander, the Ozil Lishol. They eventually all roll down, whether it's a large impurity or a smaller impurity. As Rashi says, Evel Gedola, Evel Ketana, a large measure or a small measure, Shneyem Muvasim, they're both Mekulko, they're both twisted, they're both slanted. Klomar, call up Psulim, it's Galgal, the Yard, and Lishol. All of the Psulim ever eventually go to Shol. When we show the Talmud, Rashi says, Klomar, Shol Gavo, Mi Talmud, Shol is higher than Talmud, Umis Galgal, it rolls down, Mi Shol the Talmud, from that city to that city, with Talmud, like we said, the Ilul Yard, the Gehenim, Ika Tekanta, the Psul, the two, ain't Tahara. And the people that unfortunately have these impure lineages, there's no way to be Misaki in them. When we show the Talmud, Mi Talmud, Lameshon, Mi Meshon, La Panya, and therefore they rolled from one place to the other place. They ended up in Harpanya, which was like the meeting place of all the impure lineages when they were seeking out wives. This is unfortunately a very, very nogeya inyan today, as we're going to see an influx of people coming in to Eretz Yisrael from the ravages that are going on in Ukraine. And my understanding is that there's also going to be a lot of people from Russia because of the economic pressures that are now going to make Aliyah. So they're questionable lineage, and many of these people will not be able to prove that they're Jewish or that they may be only Jewish in a ethnic sense from the paternal side, but not from the maternal side. And this is going to be another situation where we're going to desperately need Eliyahu HaNavi to come and tell us who is pure, who is not pure of lineage. Be'ezus Hashem, Eliyahu should come quickly and be able to help us out with this huge problem. With this, we conclude the beautiful first parak of Yevamos. Hadron Alecha Chomesh Esrei Noshim, Hadron Alecha Chomesh Esrei Noshim, Hadron Alecha Chomesh Esrei Noshim. And now we go to the second parak, which begins at the bottom of Yizayin Od Aleph with the following Mishnah. Keitzad Eishes Achiv Shlo Yobayolomo. How is there a situation of an Eishes Ach that wasn't present at birth at the time of the world, that his brother who ultimately died childless? What is the scenario for that to happen? Now, we discussed this already in the first parak, so let's again set up our usual typical example, where we have Reuven and Shimon are two brothers. We'll always have Shimon being the one that does Yibum, and Reuven Nebuch is the one that passes away. So Reuven and Shimon both are in the world together at the same time, and Reuven is married, and then Reuven Nebuch passes away childless, so Reuven's widow, we'll always call her Rachel, so she, Nebuch, will fall to Yibum, to Shimon, her brother-in-law, upon the passage of her husband Reuven. Now, at that point in time, there is no Levi. So there's a Yibum situation set up at this point in time. And at this point in time, before Shimon takes her in Yibum, so now Levi is born. So Levi is in existence now, but he's considered Achiv Shaloi B'Olomo Shel Reuven. And therefore, in this situation, if Shimon were to die after he did Yibum with Reuven's widow, Rachel, so now his wives, Shimon's wives, would fall to Levi. But Levi wasn't alive when Reuven's widow, who was taken in Yibum by Shimon, he wasn't alive at that point in time with Reuven, and therefore they're not considered Shnei Achim Sheyoshvu Yachdov, and therefore, when we don't have them living together, so in that situation, this is an example of Eishes Achiv Shelohoyo B'Yolomo, and not only is that woman herself not allowed to go be taken in Yibum by Levi, but a tzara, any other wives that Shimon had, the tzara's erva, the tzara's eishes achiv shelohi b'yolamo, are also, according to Beis Hillel, forbidden to be taken in Yibum, or even to do chalitza is not necessary. And this is the example. Ketzad eishes achiv shelohi b'yolamo, the Gemara is now going to discuss in this Mishnah. So shnei achim, you have Reuven and Shimon, umeisa achim mehem, and one of them dies, Reuven passes away, and then the nolad lahem ach, and then Levi is born. The third brother is now born, but after Reuven is dead. He never lived, Levi and Reuven never lived at the same time. So this is Eishes Achiv Shelo Yobi Olomo. This is an example of Achiv Shelo Yobi Olomo, and the wife of Reuven was going already into Yibum's situation before Levi was born. And then what happens? Shimon does Yibum. Shimon is allowed to do Yibum. It's a mitzvah to do Yibum. Achakach Yibum HaSheni. The Sheni over here is Shimon, and he is Miyabim as Eishes Achiv. He takes one of Reuven's wives, let's call her Rachel, into Yibum, and he marries her. So now Shimon is married to Rachel, Reuven's wife, and he may or may not have additional wives. Let's say he does. He has another wife, Leah. Leah is unrelated to Rachel. Shimon has two wives now. His original wife, Leah, and the wife that he took in Yibum, Rachel. And then Shimon passes away childless, B'meis. So now you have Harishona. Now, the terminology of the Gemara is going to question this wording of Rishona, and it's going to say there's another Girsa that says Ashniya, but we'll learn it like our Girsa right now, and explain, the Gemara will explain that both Girsas are correct. They're both referring to the same woman. It's just which perspective you're looking at. So her Rishona, this is Rachel, Reuven's wife. She goes out. She doesn't fall in Yibum to Levi because Yotze Mishum Eishes Achiv Shaloya B'Yolamo. This is a classical example. Levi wasn't alive at the time that she was married to Reuven, so therefore she's always going to be considered Eishes Ach to Levi. There is no mitzvah of Yibum in that situation, so she's always Osir with the Isser Kares of Eishes Ach, and therefore she can't undergo Yibum with Levi. But there's another wife, Shimon, who could undergo Yibum theoretically with Levi, but because she's a Tsaras Erva, she's the Tsara of Eishes Achiv Shelo B'Yolamo, and therefore Vashnia, this second wife of Shimon, here referring to her as the second wife, the Gemara will say there's another version that says she's the first wife. Again, it's just a perspective. We had the two wives of Shimon, Rachel, who was the widow of Reuven, who fell to Shimon and Yibum, and Shimon had his own wife. So she is not permitted to go and have Yibum done with Levi because Mishum Tsarasa, because of Tsaras Erva, Tsara of Eishes Achiv Shelo B'Yolamo. And therefore, in this situation, they both go scot-free. There is no heter over here to go and have Yibum, and there's no need for Chalitza to be done by Levi. Now, what happens also B'Maimar? Let's revisit the order of events here. Again, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Levi is not yet born. Reuven is married to Rachel, and Reuven dies. Now, before Levi is born, Shimon does Maimer. Maimer, again, is like Kiddushin with the Yevama. On a Daraisa level, you don't need this, but the rabbis were masakin that you should do something like a kiddushin called Maimer before you just go take her in and have relations with her. So therefore, Shimon did Maimer with her. That makes her, this Rachel, the widow of Reuven, Shimon's wife, Midirabonon. Kiddushin, it's like Kiddushin. That makes you their wife. So therefore, she's married now to Shimon on the Rabbanon level. And only then is Levi born. Also by Maimar, and then Mace, he dies. So in this situation, what is the status? Here, Shnia, the wife of Reuven, certainly doesn't require Yibum Machalitza. She's always going to be Eishes Och, Shelo Hayah B'Yolamo. But here, the Tzara, Shimon's wife, never really was a Tzara on a Daraisa level, because Shimon died before any Yibum was done. So therefore, in this situation, Shimon is not really fully married to Rachel, the widow of Reuven, who was only married on the Rabbanon level. So if you remove the Rabbanon aspect, so Shimon's wife is Eishes Och Shehaya B'Olamo with Levi. So therefore, on a Daraisa level, if Reuven wasn't in the picture at all, Reuven's wives weren't in the picture at all, so then Shimon and Levi were Shnei Achim that lived at the same time. Shimon dies childless, so his wife would fall to Levi. But here we have this Midrabanan marriage through Maimer of the Reuven's widow, Rachel. So you have Reuven who died. His widow is married Midrabanan to Shimon. That woman is not allowed to have Yibum with Levi. And the Tzara, albeit it's only a Tzara Midrabanan, would now be potter through Tzara's Erva to have a Yibum relation with Levi. But on a Daraisa level, Yibum is still allowed. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us the Shnia, this Tzara, the other wife of Shimon, the Tzara of the widow of Reuven, Rachel, who was married Midirabanan only through Maimer, so she's Tzara's Erva Midirabanan. So the Shnia requires Cholitza, but doesn't require Yibum. Shnia Choletza, so let me see Abemis. Now let's do Yibum, because it will be over the Rabbanan of the Tzara's Erva Midirabanan. But you can't just let her go scot-free, because on a Daraisa level, she is Mechuyevis in Yibum or Chalitza, and therefore the Mishnah tells us Shnia Choletza velo Misya Bemes. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, I'm a Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman tells us, Man detani rishona lo mishtabesh, u man detani shnia lo mishtabesh. I mentioned in the Mishnah that we use the language over here in the first case that Reuven dies, his wife Rachel falls to Shimon and Yibum, then Levi is born, and then Shimon does Yibum, and then Shimon dies. So on a Daraisa level, Shimon is married both to his own wife that he had before, and Rachel, the wife who he had through Yibum, Reuven's widow. So this is the scenario where we said, in this situation, Harishona, which we translated as the first wife, meaning Reuven's wife, and the other one was called the Shnia, that was Shimon's own wife. So Rav Nachman says, if you use that terminology, lo mishtabish, there's no mistake. And if you flipped around the terminology, and instead you called Reuven's wife the Shnia, and you called Shimon's wife the Rishona, you're also not mistaken. Why not? So the Gemara explains, Man the Tani Rishona, the one that says Rishona, we turn to Yedayin with Beis, the one that uses the terminology like we had it over here is correct, because what does the word Rishona mean? My Rishona, Rishona Litafila. It means she was the first one to fall in Yibum. In other words, she was Reuven's wife, so we're calling her the Rishona. And Shimon's wife is therefore called the Shnia. She's the second one to fall to Yibum, to Levi. Ah, very good. Rishona and Shnia, we understand. So that's not mishtabesh if you have it the way that we had it. But it's also not mishtabesh. It's also not incorrect if you had it the exact opposite terminology. The case is the same. The people are the same, but the terminology is different. Uman de Tani Shnia, the one who said that the Shnia is called Reuven's widow, Rachel, and the Rishona is called Shimon's wife, also lo mishtabesh, he's not making a mistake. Why? Because what does it mean, Shnia? My Shnia? Shnia lo nisuin. It means she was the second one to marry Shimon. Shimon already had a first wife, and now the widow of Reuven, Rachel, who falls Yibum to Shimon and is taken by Shimon in Yibum, is the second wife of Shimon. That's why those that have that gear, so Shnia, are also correct, because it means Shnia lo nisuin. And the other one, the first wife of Shimon, is called Rishona, because it's Rishona Lenisur. Both are talking about the same people, and there's no change in the din, just different terminology. Where it says, wait a second, according to this, Milo Askinen, isn't the din the same, even if Shimon, let's say, only married his wife after he did Yibum? Shimon was no wives, and his a bachelor, and now he takes Reuven's widow in Yibam, and then he marries a second woman later on. Isn't our case still applicable in that situation? Bilo askinan de Yibam, even if there was Yibam first, be achar kach konas, and then he took a wife? So therefore, the second terminology would be incorrect to say that this was the second wife of Reuven. No, it's actually the woman who falls as Yibam to Shimon was the first wife, as well as the first one to fall, so she should be called the Rishona. So, why are you telling me the terminology of calling Reuven's widow the second wife? She never was a second wife. She was the first wife to Reuven and the first wife to Shimon. So the Gemara says, no. So what does it mean, Elamai Shnia? It means Shnia b'nisuin. It means she's married for the second time. First she was married to Reuven, now she's married to Shimon. That's what it means, Shnia. So if you use that lashon, it's also not mishtabish. It's still acceptable. Now the Gemara says, Eishes achiv shloi b'yolomo hechag siva. Where do we know this din? That you're not allowed to go and do Yibam with a brother who was not alive at the same time as Reuven. Now, we already had this in the first parak, and here we see the source of this. Amar Yud, Amar Rav. The pasuk tells us, Amar Kro, ki yeshvu achim yachtov, umeis achad mehem, uvein ein lo, losia eishes hameis achutza liyizor, yavama yavoh aleo, ulekoch alo liyishov yibah. We have this pasuk extensively darshan in the first parak, and here we see, again, the idea, ki yeshvu achim yachtov. The two brothers have to be alive at the same time. Shais ulem yeshiva achas ba'olam. They have to be alive at the same time in the world. Again, they could be very, very different ages. The child could be a one-day-old child, and this din applies, or the child could be a 30-year-old brother to the 31-year-old brother who passed away. Regardless of their ages, they have to be alive at the same time. As opposed to, that Reuven died before his brother Levi was born. In that situation, it would be the wife of Reuven, Eishes Achiv, Shaloya B'Yolamo, that he never was alive at the same time. There is no mitzvah Yibam. The pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov. This is the first drasha, which we're now going to just expand on a little bit more. Yachtov means Miyuchod B'Nachalo, Pratli Achim Min O'Aim. So we also dashin further, that this also tells us, Rav Yehuda Amarav tells us, is that they have to be from the father's side, their paternal brothers. They can also be maternal. It can be paternal and maternal, but it must be at least paternal. As opposed to Pratli Achim Min O'Aim, this excludes from the din of Yibam two brothers that are only maternal brothers. They have the same mother, but they have different fathers. There is an Isser of Eishes Ach, but here there's no mitzvah of Yibam. And that's where it says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdov, it means Yachdov Miyuchod Benachla. They're together in the same inheritance. Two maternal brothers don't inherit, because you inherit through the father, not through the mother. Two paternal brothers, even if they have different mothers, they inherit through the father. So this is the first drasha, how we know that Eishes Ach Shloi B'Yolamo is Asur. That's the first drasha. We seem to give another drasha here. The first one was Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The second one is from Rabbah. We'll see, we need them both. Right now, it just says a separate drasha. Rabbah Amar, it has to be Achim Min O'Av. They have to be paternal brothers. Where do we know this from? Yolif Achva Achva Mibnei Yaakov. This is learned out through Gzeir Shava of Achva Achva. Achim Achim. Rashi tells us the first pasuk is Kieshu Achim Yachdov. That's our pasuk. It calls them Achim. And then it says, when the Shvatim are going to look for Yosef in Mitzrayim, so they tell Yosef, Shnemos are Achim b'nei Avinu. We were 12 brothers. So it uses brothers there. Now, they were only paternal brothers, right? The mothers were different. There was Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah. So they were not maternal brothers. They were only paternal brothers. And we learn this out. Achva, Achva from B'nai Yaakov. Malahalam in Av, Elom in Aim. Just like by Yaakov, they said that we are brothers using the Lashon of Achim, and they were only paternal brothers. So too, Avkam in Av, Elom in Aim. So too, when it says Kieshu Achim Yachdov, it's only talking about paternal brothers and not maternal brothers. So this is Rabbah's source for this din, that the brothers have to be Achim and Av and not Achim min Ha'em. Mark questions this and says, why don't we learn out Valema Achva Valelov Achva Achva me Arayas? Why don't we learn it out from the pasuk by Arayas? Now by Arayas it tells us Ervas Eishes Ochicha. It uses the Lashon Ochicha, and that is from the maternal side. So therefore, this includes Afilu Ochicha min Ha'em below min Av, even if it's only maternal, not both. So why don't we learn out the Yeshu Achim Yachtov from Arayas that would be even maternal? So Gemara says no, because it makes more sense to make the Gzeir Shava done in Achim Achim, the exact same terminology, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov with Shnemasar Achim Bnei Avinu, rather than to use the terminology of Ervas Eishes Ochicha. Ochicha is not
achim. And the Gemara says, no, that's not correct. Gezer Shavas don't have to be the exact same words. My naf gemina, why should it make a difference whether you're comparing achim to achim or achim to achicha? Both are perfectly acceptable for Gezer Shavah. After all, possibly the most famous Gezer Shavah is two different words. That you can have a Gzeir Shavah with two different words. Gzeir Shavahs are transmitted to us from Har Sinai. We can't make up a Gzeir Shavah. So if the Masara says this is a Gzeir Shavah, that's the Gzeir Shavah. And the Masara said, Vishava coin, Uva coin, Zui Shiva, Zui Bia. This is a Gzeir Shavah. Shav and Ba. Totally different roots, totally different words, and nevertheless, it's a valid Gzeir Shavah. So if Shav and Ba can be a Gzeir Shavah, so certainly Achim and Achicha could be a Gzeir Shavah. It can't be any worse than Shav and Ba. Now, by the way, the Gzeir Shavah of Shav and Ba was a din in Mitzora in terms of how you are going to learn out certain dinim, which we won't go into right now, but clearly that is a Gzeir Shavah. So why does it bother you that Achim is not the same word as Achicha, that you can't make Gzeir Shavah when we have two totally different words that can be Gzeir Shavah, Shav and Ba? So Gemara says, no. When do we allow a Gzeir Shavah to be totally different words like Shav and Ba or Achim and Achicha? That's when there is no alternative. Hani mili hecha deleka mide de domile, when there is no exact Gzeir Shavah. If you had had Shav and Shav, then you wouldn't be allowed to do Shav and Ba. But there was no exact Gzeir Shavah, so then, if we have a tradition that this is a Gzeir Shavah, it can even be totally different words. And certainly it could be Achim and Achicha. That's when you have no similar word. Aval hecha deika mide de domile, if you have an identical word or a closer word, and at the Gzeir Shavah, we had traditions to having a Gzeir Shavah. We didn't always have a tradition what the Gzeir Shavah was. Heard from Rav Shechter Shlita, he said there was a certain number of Gzeir Shavahs they had, but there would sometimes be machlokes which one was the Gzeir Shavah. So in this situation, they knew that there was a Gzeir Shavah over here from Yibum to some other din, Kieshu Achim Yachtov. So they had a choice of comparing it paternally from Shnei Masor Achim B'nei Avinu, or they could have learned it out from Ervas Eishes Achicha. So here, when they had a choice, they could have gone either way. You do it to the one that's exactly the same. Midadami le'yafinon. Mor says, v'leilav achvo achvo milop. Wait a second, if you're looking for the exact word of achim, so we have it by lot. What did it say by lot? It said, by lot, d'chsiv ki anoshim achim anochnu. So lot is a brother to Avraham. So, now, he really was a nephew, but we use the terminology of Achim. So there you see that you can go even not by paternal brothers. So why don't you compare it to that and say that anybody can do Yibam, another relative can do Yibam as well? So we said, no. It makes more sense to learn it out from the brothers of Yaakov than from Lot. Mistavram ibn Yaakov, Havalei Lemelef, why? Mishum demufne. Because by Yaakov, by the 12 Shvatim saying, Shnei Mosar Achim b'nei Avinu anachdu, it could have said a different word than Achim. Mida Havalei Lemichtav, Shnei Mosar Avodecha b'nei Avinu. They're talking to Yosef, and they could have said, we are 12 servants of you. But instead they said, we are 12 brothers. And therefore, it was an extra word, Achim, that was used. And if it's mufni, if it's extra, so that's the better one to do the Gzeir Shavah. Uksiv Achim, to teach us, Shema Mino Alef Nuye, it was an extra word that was put in over here. In a moment we'll say, by Lot, it could have said another word instead of Achim as well. But right now, this is the answer that we're giving. Now the Gemara tells us that this din of Yehuda Marav, that we derive this idea from Kieshru Achim Yachtov, to teach us it's only paternal, as well as the din that Rabba had said, that we learned it out of Gzeir Shavah, Achim, Achim, both are really necessary for us to learn this din out properly. V'yitzruk l'michtav achim, v'yitzruk l'michtav yachtav. You need both. Why is that? Because the cause of Rachmon achim, if we only had the Gzeir Shavah of achim, achim, you know what it said? Hav amino lelev achva achva milot. I would have said, let's learn it out from Lot. That's something that we could say is not only paternal brothers, but he even be a nephew. Aye, v'chitem lo mufni. You're going to tell me, no, we'd rather learn it out from the brothers because the word there by the brothers was extra. It could have said, midavale lemichtav shnemosor avodecha b'nei avinu, and it said shnemosor ach instead of avodecha b'nei avinu, so that was mufni, so that's what you want to tell me is better than Lot, but no, Lot is also mufni. V'chitem lo mufni. You're going to tell me by Lot it's not mufni. Mufni, no, it is. Lie, afnuya mufne, because by Lot it was also extra, because with the havalei lemichtav reim, it could have said, ki anoshim reim anachnu. And it specifically said, ki anoshim Achim anachnu ksiv achim shmamino lemufnuye. It's also mufne. So if you just had the achim gerushava, you could have said it goes either way. It could have gone from brothers or could have even been nephews. Therefore, kasev rechmona yachdov. It has to teach us how miyuchad benachlo. They have to have the same inheritance. And uncles and nephews don't inherit the same way like two brothers do. Two brothers, paternal brothers, will inherit exactly the same way from their father. Oh, so just tell me that. Because of rechmona yachdov, if you only had yachdov, you know what I would have said? Habamina de miyachade ba'aba ube'ima. I would have said that maybe they need to have both the same mother and father for them to be 100% identical in terms of their inheritance. Therefore, tzricha, you needed to tell me, no, it's only the paternal side that counts. Gemara says, really? Is that where you learned it out? If it wasn't for this drasha that we just brought down of Achim Achim, we would have said that you need to have the same mother and father in order to have Yibam. Yibam and Nachla, Tol Rachmona. The whole idea of Yibam is based upon having the same Nachla. The Nachla mina av, lo mina emhi. It has nothing to do with the mother. So why would we have thought that? Someone says, no, we would have thought it. It's true. Because so could die to Chaminach, you know what I would have said? The whole concept of Yibam is such a strange concept. You're going against the din in the Torah, which is Eishes Ach, albeit the Torah tells us you go against it, but Ho V'chidishu, it's such a chidish over here that we're saying that somebody that under other circumstances would be an Arayah to you, would be an Erevah to you, here it's not in the setting of not having children. Ho V'chidishu, since this is such a chidish, the Kamishtari Erevah Gabay, that we're allowing an Erevah of Eishes Ach to be permitted, because of this din of Yibam, so I would have said, you know what? I would have said the word Yachtov is coming to tell us that you really got to have everything together, same mother and same father. And therefore, Tzricha, that's why they had to tell us in the Torah that no, even if you only have the same father, albeit not the same mother, that's Yachtov in terms of Miyuchadim Benachala. That's what you need this pasuk to come to teach us, to negate this concept. You would have said it's a chiddush, and maybe it doesn't apply to anybody unless they have the same mother and the same father. Okay, so now we tied up all the loose ends, and we understand where this din of Eishes Achiv Shloya Be'olamo comes from, and that it's only paternal and not maternal brothers that have the din of Yibam. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna Amar Rav tells us, Shomeres Yavam Shemeisa Mutar Be'ima. If Reuven passes away, Rachmana Litzlan, and his wife Rachel falls to Shimon, and that's called the Shomeris Yavam, she's waiting for Shimon to do Yibam with her, and then Nebuch, she passes away. Reuven's wife Rachel passes away before Yibam can be done. So in this situation, what do we say about Shimon? Shimon's allowed to go marry her relatives. They're not considered his wife. She was never considered his wife, and they're not considered his wife's relatives, who he's also to marry. So therefore, mutar bi'ima, Shimon would be allowed to marry Rachel's mother, even though Rachel had fallen to him in Yibam, since he never did Yibam, he never did Maimer, he never did Chalitza. So therefore, in this situation, if Rachel dies, Reuven's wife dies, before Shimon can do Yibam with her, so there's no relationship halachically between this wife and Shimon. And therefore, mutar bi'ima, he'd be allowed to go marry her mother or any of her other relatives. What do you see from here? The Gemara says, Alma Kasava, Rav Huna holds, Rav Huna Amar Rav holds, Ein Zika. This falling in Yibam is not a halachic construct called Zika. Yes, it's going to happen if they both stay alive. Either Yibam or Chalitza will be done. But the Zika carries no weight on its own. It has to be taken care of. But in and of itself, if they never do Yibam or Chalitza, she dies before Yibam or Chalitza will be done. Nothing existed between her and Reuven. Yes, there was a Zika, but the Zika has no halachic construct to it. It has no halachic power to it, and therefore, Ein Zika. This is the opinion known as that Zika, while it's there, it has no halachic strength to it, and this is known as the Shita of Ein Zika. Now, we'll see if there's an opinion that says, Yesh Zika, that this relationship between Rachel, the widow of Reuven, and her Yavam has halachic status to it. And that's called Yesh Zika, which we'll get to in a few moments. But right now, we're dealing with Rav Huna Amar Rav, who holds Ein Zika. So where it says, why did he tell us in this way, Shomeres Yavim Shemesim Mutar B'Yima, why didn't he just say Ein Zika? The Lema, he should have said, halachic Yedivri Yomer Ein Zika. Why did Rav Huna Amar Rav seem to come up with his own idea? Shomeres Yavim Shemesim, oh, Mutar B'Yima. He should have just said, this goes in accord with the sheet that it says Ein Zika. And then we would know what he's talking about. Why did he spell it out for us? So Gemara says, "I havi Omar Hachi," because if he had in fact said, "Yes, I paskin ein zika," so then if he had said that, you know what I would have said? "Havamina," that's only hani lili betray. That would only be in a situation that there's no Zika if you have two brothers. So Reuven passes away. His wife, Rachel, falls in Yibam, but not to just Shimon, to Shimon and Levi. There are two brothers alive at the same time as Reuven. Shimon and Levi, could be Yisachar, Dan, Naphtali, Zulun, etc. Could be many other brothers as well. The critical factor is, as long as there's more than one, so let's keep it simple. Reuven dies, his wife Rachel falls in Yibam to both Shimon and Levi. Obviously, only one has to do Yibam. Only one is allowed to do Yibam with her or Chalitza. In that situation, I might have said, yes, when there are two brothers, ain't Zika, because it's not clear. Who did she fall to? Did she fall to Shimon, or did she fall to Levi? So in that situation, ain't Zika. That's if Rav Huna Amar Rav said, ain't Zika, I would have said, yeah, if there's two brothers, there's no Zika. But guess what? If there's one brother, there is Zika. Avo b'chad yei Zika. That's what I might have thought. So that's why he didn't tell us ain't Zika. He said, in this situation, mutar b'ima. Mutar b'ima means ain't Zika, and it tells us not only if there's two brothers that there's ain Zika, but even if there's only one brother, also ain Zika. Someone says to say that. V'lema halacha k'divrei Omer ain Zika afilu b'chad. Let him say specifically, Rav Huna Amar Rav say that even if there's only one brother, we hold there's no Zika. Why did he say mutar b'ima? Because Mora says, if he had said, ain Zika afilu b'chad, you know what I would have said? Hav aminu afilu m'chayim. I would have said that even during the lifetime that the Yavama hadn't yet died, he'd be allowed to go and marry her mother. So Kamash Vilan, no. La'ach Hamisa, there's no Zika, ain't. However, Mechayim lo. But during Chayim, he's not allowed to marry her because Mishum Da'asu Levatel Mrs. Yavma. Not because of the concept of Zika in and of itself, but because there's a mitzvah of Yibam, and you can't go and be Mavatel the mitzvah of Yibam by going and marrying her mother. If you marry her mother, then she's now an heir to you. You're not allowed to go and have Yibam with her. So that's why he had to tell us, Mutar Bi'ima only means after her death. That's why he said Mishamesa Mutab Ima, and he didn't say Ein Zika Afilu B'chad, because then we wouldn't know the full strength of what Rav Huna Amar Rav was telling us. Now, Gemara questions this Shita. Fine, we now what a Shita is. The Gemara questions this. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes. We're going to learn in the Mitzvah Shem in a month. Yevimto Shemesa, if Nebuch, a woman fell in Yibam, and then she died. So it says, in this situation, Reuven died, his wife Rachel falls in Yibum to Shimon, but then she also dies. So in this situation, Yevimto Shemesa, where Shimon's Yevama died, Mutar B'Achos, he's allowed to go and marry her sister. Now that implies only B'Achosa in, however, B'Ima lo. Now this seems to be a regular situation of you're allowed to marry your wife's sister Nebuch after the person's wife were to pass away. So too, you're allowed to marry your Yavama's sister after the Yavama passes away, but not the other relatives. Just like Rahman al-San, if a person's wife dies, you're not allowed to go marry your mother-in-law. A person can never go marry their mother-in-law even after the wife's died. It's only the sister. There's a special dispensation, which we talked about a lot in the first parak, to marry your wife's sister after Rahman al-San, if a person's wife were to pass away. So then in that situation, it's only the sister. So too, by Yavama, it's only Bachosa in B'imalo. And that goes against what Rav Huna Amar Rav said, that Mesa Yavimto Mutar b'ima, you'd be allowed to go and marry a mother. So here it seems to disagree with that. Someone says, no, you're misunderstanding this Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes. Hu adin dafil b'ima. The Mishnah there said that you're allowed to marry the sister after the Yavama dies, and same thing would apply to her mother as well. Why did it say sister? I did the Tana Reisha, Ishto Shemesa Mutar B'Achosa, since the Reisha of that Mishnah taught us this din that we've been talking about, the Rachman al-San, if somebody's wife were to pass away, then you'd be allowed to go marry your sister. So that was a unique din. That's what the Reisha talked about. Ishto Shemesa Mutar B'Achosa, implication being only B'Achosa in, Avo B'Ima Lo, you wouldn't be allowed to marry any other relatives of a person's wife. If Rachman al-San, the wife passes away, you're not allowed to marry her mother, you're not allowed to marry her aunt, you're not allowed to go marry any of her other relatives, you're only allowed to go and marry the sister of your wife, Rachman al-San, if the wife were to pass away. So in this situation, the Habila Isur Daraisa. So here, this Isurim Daraisa. So that's why it mentioned this case over here with the sister only, and therefore, Tana Nami Sefer. For parallel reasons, the Sefer also says Mutar B'Achosa, just to be parallel with the Reisha. But in fact, in the Sefer, it's also Mutar B'Ima as well, because this Yibam, according to the Shita of Ein Zika, doesn't have any permanent impact. And therefore, you'd be allowed to go marry the mother of the Yavama that fell to you, because you never did Yibam with her, if she never passes away. That's the opinion of Rav Huna Amar Rav. Ein zika. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar, no. Shomeris Yavdim Shemesa. If this woman who was your Yavama, she passes away, Asur Be'ima. He says, no, you're not allowed to marry a mother. Why? Amo Kasavar Ye Zika. Because he holds that this Zika bond that you had between this Yavama and you has halachic status to it. And it's no different than any other woman who, if you're married to her, you're not permitted to marry any of her relatives, except the sister, as we just brought down. So too, the Zika creates like a marriage, and therefore you're not allowed to go and marry any of her relatives, with the exception of her sister. Aye, why didn't he say so? So again, similar questions that we had a minute ago. Instead of giving us this din that Yavam Shemesa also Bima, just say Yesh Zika, and we'd know what he's talking about. Where it says, if he had said that, if he in fact had said that, I would have made a mistake. I would have said, Havamina, Hanimil Bechad. It's only if there's one brother. Again, when there's one brother, there's no doubt. If Reuven passes away, and there's only one brother, Shimon, so then there's no doubt that Rachel has fallen to Shimon. So in that situation, I would have thought he held Yesh Zika. I will betray. If there's a Shimon and a Levi, when it's not clear who she's actually going to be falling to, I would have said Ein Zika. So that's why he had to specifically tell us, Shomer is Yavim Shemesa, also Mi'ima, Bi'ima. Because he's teaching us more than Zika. He's telling us that the Zika then applies even if it's two, and not only if it's one. So Gemara says, V'ha ki pligi betray, pligi. The Gemara tells us that when this whole discussion is discussed, it's always talking about with this two. If there's only one, there's no machlokas. So clearly it's talking about when there's two. So he could have just said, Yei Zika. We know he's talking about even if there's two. So he says, you're right. Elo, Iyamam Hachi. If he had said, Yei Zika, you know what I would have said? And we turn to Yuches Avod Aleph, Hava Amina. I would have said that that's only true, Mechayim. I would have said that only during life, when she's alive, are you forbidden in all of her relatives. Avaliacha Misa. If she dies before you do Yibam with either Shimon or Levi, so then Pakala Zika. Then that Zika is disbanded. And there is no Zika, and you'd be allowed to go marry her relatives after she died, even her mother. Kamash Balan, the Zika bichdi lo paka, that the Zika bond that you have doesn't just spontaneously go away. Bichdi means with nothing. So it just doesn't spontaneously go away. You need to do something to it. So if you did chalitza, so then that bond would go away. If there's marriage and engagement, that bond goes away. But otherwise, that bond stays there. So even if she dies, but nothing was done, no yibam, no chalitza, nothing was done, so then that bond still exists. And therefore, even after her death, you're not allowed to go marry her mother. So then the Gemara says, oh, Lema Masayile, that it says later in the Masechta, Yevimto Shemesa Muta Biachosa, that Mishnah on Daf Memtes, which we just brought down before. So now this is a raya to Rabbi Yehuda. Before it was a kasha on Rav Huna Marav. Here it's a raya to Rabbi Yehuda. It said over there that only the Achosa is permitted. Yevimto Shemesa, only Muta Biachosa. Biachosa in Bi'ima Lo seems to be in exactly accord with what Rabbi Yehuda just said, that even after death, that Zika bond is still there, Yesh Zika. And even after death, the only one you're permitted to is the Achosa. Because even your wife, Rachmana Litzan, if somebody's wife were to pass away, you could marry his sister. So certainly if there was a Zika relationship, and then the Yavama passed away, you could still marry your sister, but only your sister, not Ima, a rioter of Yehuda. Gemara says, no. No. That Mishnah on Daf Memtes cannot be learned this out, because that Mishnah was there again for parallelism. Same answer we gave before, that we schlugged up the Kasha on review. Rav Huna Amar Rav. So here it slugs up the raya to Rav Yehuda as well. But I did the Tana Reisha Ishto Shemesa Muta Beachosa, since it had to tell us that first din, that the only erva that still is permitted after the death of the wife is only the sister, but all the other arayas are not still permitted. Dafko Beachosa Avobimolo. That was only for the sister and not for the mother. So since the Reisha of that Mishnah had to tell us his din by the sister, so too, the Habile Yisur Daraisa, which was an Issa Daraisa, Toninami Sefer, Mutu Biachosa. So therefore the Sefer, which is dealing with the Zika ban, had to tell us the same din. But technically, it would apply to all the others as well. That Zika applies to all the other relatives too, that they would still be permitted after the passage of the Yavama, just like after the passage of the wife, all the Arayas are in existence, so too, the only one that's not is Achosa, both by the Zika and by a person's regular wife. So now we have established these two Shitas. We have the Shita of Rav Huna Amar Rav that says Ein Zika, with the circumstances that we described, and we have the Shita of Rav Yehuda, Yesh Zika, with the circumstances that we described. Yemi Yitzhashem will continue and pick up this Machlokes, Yemi Yitzhashem, in tomorrow's Shir. With this, we conclude today's Shir.